As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Greetings and welcome to Starkville.
Baseball Hall of Famer Jason Stark.
And then the robot said, strike.
That's why you're going in the Hall of Fame.
It's an inside the park.
Mike Trout is coffee at Starbucks with a double latte skinny.
Doug, are you ready to make some podcast magic?
I am ready. Bring on the magic wand. Let's do it.
Greetings and welcome to Starkville. I'm Jason Stark. I write about baseball for The Athletic. And I'm joined once again by my good friend, writer, broadcaster, professor, distinguished former major leaguer, and the voice of Sunday Night Baseball on ESPN Radio, Doug Glanville. Doug, how are you? I was thinking, do I need to include producer, or I'm sorry, do I need to include professor in your long list of titles when we introduce you after this week?
After this week, no, I guess not. I mean, I guess I don't ever fully lose the title. Maybe adjunct professor of practice. It is coming. It's come to an end. I am no longer in the classroom. Our last class has been achieved, and I always miss my students. I had a great time, and the cool thing is, I keep hearing from students that are getting jobs all over the place. A couple people working for the Mets and the Cubs and the. So, and I had nothing to do with it. It just, you know, it was really cool. But yeah, every semester I think about it, I'm always grateful. The students were very open. They have to write these papers that they have to kind of reveal deep opinions about sports and society. And it's a lot of fun, but it's also, we cover a lot of ground. So I'm just thankful for that. And also I can throw this claim out there that the past 2 years as a professor at University of Connecticut, the University of Connecticut has won 2 national titles. So I think I'm now the good luck charm. And forgot the Husky, Jonathan the Husky. I know you're cool, and I know you're a legacy, but maybe it's just sport and society class that's bringing the fire on the basketball court. Let's get and the women's team, I feel, will have a shot at it next year. So I feel good about that. Do I get a ring? Do I get a ring? I wonder about that, too. I don't know.
Yeah. What did UConn ever win before Doug Glanville started teaching there?
Absolutely
Somebody
nothing.
Look that up.
Yeah, let's look that up.
Yeah, let's not. Look, Doug, I look forward to every show, but especially this one. Dave Roberts, the manager of the Dodgers, will join us. A lot of good stuff to talk to him about, but he's going to explain why Shohei Ohtani clearly likes Joe Kelly and Joe's wife more than him. We'll get to the bottom of that. We have a great Strange But True for you. There'll be some sausage talk, as you knew there would be. And I love this week's trivia question, even though the guy who asked it has already admitted he's opening the door for Glanville to use his latest devious cheating scheme. We'll see how that goes. No matter what, a fun time will be had by all. But first, Doug, what do you say we talk to a guy with a brand new Porsche? What do you say?
All right. Sounds good.
An this might be our greatest timing ever. We've been working with Dave Roberts to find a time that worked for all of us for his return to Starkville. But it almost feels like the planets lined up to make this time work. So let's welcome in the manager of those Los Angeles Dodgers. Dave, welcome back to Starkville.
It's good being back on Starkville, Jason. Dougie, it's great to catch up with you guys. And absolutely, Jason, you nailed it. I mean, with what's going on in baseball and with what Shohei is doing right now and how we're playing, stars align.
Yeah, right? Look, there's never a bad time to talk to you. But as you just kind of alluded to, over the weekend, something incredible happened. Some guy you manage named Ohtani broke a Dodgers record that was previously held by you. Okay. Most home runs by a Dodger born in Japan. So look, before we get to the automotive portion of this story, how ironic was that, that Shohei broke a record held by his own manager? And how much have you kidded him about that?
So it's funny, is like, you know, nowadays there's just so much information. And so clearly I had no idea of this until about 2 weeks ago. And then, so obviously then it became a joke because spending 3 years with the Dodgers and him spending a month and a little over a month, and it's even a conversation of breaking my home run record is laughable. But so we just had fun with it. And Shohei just kept saying, you know, three more and I'm going to break your record, and two more. And then, so then I kind of made a dig. I forgot when, and it's like, hey, man, once you break my record, I better get a car like you gave Joe Kelly. And then so he just started laughing. And then, you know, once he hit a ball to the warning track and he's like, you're lucky, I almost got one. And then so once he did break my record, it's just amazing that, you know, these great players, like, obviously he had a lot of levity and joy with it. But, you know, Hee-Seop Choi is an Asian-born player that clearly hit more home runs than I did for the Dodgers. And I am certain he's going to take down that record, too. He's just trying to take down records. But for us to have a good time with it was great.
Yeah. All right. Let's tell the backstory. Joe Kelly used to wear number 17 before Shohei. Then last winter, Dodgers, you might have heard about this, were actively trying to recruit Shohei, okay? And Joe's wife, Ashley, started posting on social media about how Joe might be willing to give up that number if Shohei signed with the Dodgers just for a small reward, okay? So what happened? Shohei becomes a Dodger. He buys Ashley a new Porsche. Is it safe to say that you took note of that as he's closing in on your record?
It was hard not to take note. But yes, he did buy Ashley a nice new Porsche. And so I think it was probably prompted, to be honest, by somebody in the media. And I was like, yeah, that's not a bad idea at all. So that's kind of the whole backstory. Yes.
You know, I think we can all agree this is the most hallowed of all Dodgers records, right? So it deserved.
Forget about Oral, absolutely.
You know, Oral was kind of cool in its own way.
That's pretty good.
It's not up there with this. So, like, do we think this means that Shohei likes Joe and Ashley better than he likes you?
It's probably fair, and I take no offense to that. You know what? Shohei, but I've made this kind of public recently, is I just think he is just having so much fun. And I think that, you know, you guys talk to athletes, Dougie, you're a professional baseball player. And it's like, when people are comfortable and they're happy, they just have a better chance to thrive. And for me, it's just remarkable how much joy he's having with his teammates. And it's translating. Guys, I just have never seen a guy, and I play with Barry Bonds, just as how hard he hits the baseball when he touches it. It's really remarkable. And you know, yesterday, you know, against Max Fried, couple homers and, you know, one off Max and one off Minter. It's just pretty impressive, really impressive.
So, Doc, can you give us a sense of like your first impression, you know, spring training, Shohei Ohtani, and then the Ohtani you see now? What's the comparison like?
I think certainly guarded, open, talented but guarded, curious, but I'll say it again, guarded. And so, and I mentioned this publicly, so I have no problem saying this, is that, you know, he went through that gambling situation with his interpreter. And once we got that resolved and he was removed, Shohei just was forced to kind of be on his own, which I think was the best thing that's ever happened to him. I really do. I use the term buffer. There's no longer a buffer between teammates. There's no longer a buffer between coaches, front office. And so now we get to have those conversations one-on-one. There's no more one-off. And in scouting reports and meetings, he's obviously present. His English is fantastic. And so you can just see how everyone's taken to him, and his play is kind of echoing that. And, you know, this is the first time he's even driven to the ballpark this year by himself. You know, so these are things that we take for granted, certainly, but it's a big step for him. But I do think that it's been a great move for him.
Hey, I want to circle back to this, but it occurs to me we never actually mentioned what he gave you instead of a real Porsche. tell us how that came about.
Well, I can't believe you haven't seen it yet. I guess it's as people say, my kids say it's gone viral. It's a little Porsche electric car. And it's actually pretty sick. So it's on my desk as we speak.
Yeah, it's going to get better mileage than the actual Porsche. So there is
that. Yeah, right. That's right. That's right.
You know, the other thing is, I know that this reminds Doug of the time he gave up his number. It was to Lance Johnson, right, Doug?
Yes.
Do you want to tell that story?
Yeah. All right. So, Doc, I get assigned number one, you know, so I'm like excited. The Cubs spring training. And, you know, get to the big leagues, and they trade for Lance Johnson. Now, do you remember Lance? Yeah, his nickname, right, One Dog. So that kind of tells you what number he kind of liked, if your nickname is One Dog. So I knew I was in trouble. So he gets traded over there, and I'm waiting for this conversation. And I heard all the traditions about losing your number, Rolex watches, you know, cars, checks. I mean, so I'm like, all right, you know, this would be like a cash advance, or at the very least. So I was like, cool. So he walks over to me, and there's all these rumors flying. The media had interviewed me about like what he might give me. And so I'm waiting for this moment. He finally sits down with me and he says, son, I'm going to give you something way more valuable than money. I'm going to give you advice. I'm going to teach you how to play. I'm going to teach you how to play this game. I kind of immediately went and I started looking for my checkbook. I'm like, well, okay, hopefully I'm going to get a check signed advice at the bottom. That's fine. You can give me advice. As long as it's not the bottom of a check. Never saw it, but, you know, Lance did his thing and he moved on eventually. I think, you know, BMAC and all those guys. So, yeah, I knew about the number thing. Now, when I took Jimmy Rollins' number coming back to Philly, I gave him a laptop at least. I gave him something. So.
There you go. There you go. Absolutely. Atta baby Dougie. Nice going.
Yeah. So there's no negotiation that you can do here, right? To get more out of this guy?
Right. He can.
No. You know what? We'll see. We'll see. I'll keep my eyes and ears open if there's an opportunity. We'll see.
Yeah, you should. Let's go back to Shohei now. You know, I wrote a piece in The Athletic last week on what we learned in the first month. And one of the sections was Shohei is leading the league in tunnel vision. And like, I mean it. This guy boggles my mind, Dave. He changes teams. He signs the biggest contract in the history of sports. His life is completely disrupted by the whole Ipe situation. And that bothers him so much. He's leading the major leagues in OPS, slugging, homers, batting average, extra base hits, and toy Porsches given away. Like, so how is that humanly possible?
I don't know how it's humanly possible. He is a unicorn. I think that professional athletes, people that are gifted in certain fields, have the ability to compartmentalize, but never have I seen anything like this. And it couldn't be more seamless. Everything you laid out, Jason, and how his performance has not been affected at all, or his demeanor each day. You would never know the difference. I think what I do know is that after all this stuff went down, one of the first things he said was, I need to take accountability. I need to be better. And so and take charge, and so of my own kind of life. And so that's something that is really remarkable in the sense that not kind of passing blame, which he rightfully has the right to do in this situation, but actually taking ownership on how he can be better and more mature. But yeah, to the point of kind of all the noise and things and the changes and transitions, that is how expectations, and to kind of realize all those goals and expectations is pretty remarkable.
You're seeing that, right? You're seeing him use this as a life lesson. You're seeing a different guy than you saw before this went down.
Absolutely.
And can you articulate what you're seeing?
I just think that it's like, even talking to the hitting coaches, you know, you're in a hitter's meeting before a game, and where before there was an interpreter talking about things, where now Shohei is offering up how the pitcher in the past had faced him and what he's looking for. You know, when they're on the player bus, you know, he's engaged, and not just with his interpreter. He's one of the guys, you know. And so Yoshinobu has done that as well. It still has the interpreter, and we still got Will Ireton for Shohei. But Shohei really, Will Ireton does a lot of other things for us, but he's really become his own man, and it's really fun to watch the growth. It really is.
Look, I know this is a tricky question, but I'm curious. Have you been able to sit down with him and talk about the whole Ipe situation, what happened, and how he's processed it, how it's affected him?
I have not. I could have. I can. I just feel that he's gone through enough. I'm more taken and being of the mind to just move on from it and not to kind of rehash things. And nothing from his demeanor, certainly performance, has shown that we need to have that conversation. I'm sure he's had it with other people, his agent, his wife. But for me, we just talk baseball.
Dave, you know, I was just thinking about this from a lesson learned from your standpoint as a manager. You've done it a long time. You've had a tremendous amount of success. And here you have this unicorn player you mentioned, given a different kind of lesson. So I'm curious about how this may have helped your managerial toolbox, and just that reminder that you're still kind of the keeper of young men. You know, you're still surrounded by 20-something-year-old guys that are still figuring out other things in life. And I was wondering how Ohtani and other situations throughout your career has kind of inspired that development personally as a manager.
I think for me, Doug, it's easy in the sense that the practice of it, the execution, I think is very difficult to be consistent with that. But what I will say is caring for the players. I think that that's the core of my coaching philosophy, my beliefs, what's in their best interest. And what I have learned over 9 years is they are all their own individuals. They're their own people and have different cares, worries, goals, and skill sets. And so trying to figure out what each of them needs is probably the most demanding, but most fulfilling. And so, you know, with Shohei, I think that us supporting him through all this uncertainty, we as an organization had to go out on a limb and essentially, quote unquote, have his back when we didn't know all the information. And it's believing in the player. And I think that that's really helped the trust. But I think, Doug, for me is I just want the players to thrive. I played this game. I know how hard this game is. Showing them you believe in them and you hear them is probably the most important thing.
We saw you recently, I think it was in Chicago. And remember, we were talking about, you know, the assumption that you have all these great players and you just kind of roll out this carpet. And I asked you, what's the hard part about this job? What's the hard part about this job? You remember that conversation?
I do.
Can you refresh, you know, for the audience and everybody, like how you responded to that? What is the hard part about having all these talented players and managing?
You have a great roster. And when someone says or people say that the only success of a season is to be one of 30 to win the World Series, and not appreciating the day-to-day of the conversations that you have, that these people have lives, these players have lives, and they all, you know, Mookie Betts has certain needs. Freddie Freeman, Shohei Ohtani, Yoshinobu, Clayton Kershaw, all these superstars have different needs, and it's my job to try to figure out what it is to get them to be the best players they can be. You know, people play for money, for celebrity, for the Hall of Fame, and ultimately just to win a baseball game. And I think for me, to get everyone to feel valued on each day, but keep the focus on the micro, on just winning today. And I think that when collectively we can just win one game, we can do that. And you also, Doug, you have those support players that need to be told that they're pretty too. You know, you get those relievers and those bench players, they need to be told they're pretty too. So it's exhausting, but like I said, it's something that I just love to do.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
When you get injured, you don't want to wait for answers and options. That's why it may be time to explore the Nano Experience, a revolutionary treatment option designed to help active people get back to the lifestyles they love. Nanotechnology allows surgeons to see inside even the smallest joints and treat orthopedic conditions with a tiny camera and other nano instrumentation, all through a barely there poke hole incision. Wherever you've experienced an injury, whether it be a foot and ankle, hand and wrist, shoulder and elbow, knee or hip, nanoarthroscopy can be used to diagnose and treat your condition in an extremely, minimally invasive way. Don't wait to learn about the revolutionary Nano Experience and how it could help you or someone you know after an injury. Visit arthrex.info/theathletic. This is not medical advice and is not meant to be a substitute for advice from your physician. Talk with your physician about your health condition, potential surgical risks, and whether Arthrex products are right for you. Postoperative management is patient-specific and dependent upon your physician's assessment. Individual results will vary.
You know, you mentioned Mookie. He's another guy. He just amazes me. He's playing a position he had not played regularly since the New York Penn League. And he's on his way to doing something. I looked this up a couple weeks ago. Nobody in history has ever played 1,000 games in the outfield and 100 games at second and 100 games at shortstop. He's going to do this, okay? He's so good at it. He's second in the league in defensive runs saved at short. So what has surprised you most about Mookie Betts, the shortstop?
When you put eyes on him, he passes the eye test for an elite shortstop. I don't need a metric to tell me that he's playing the heck out of shortstop, where I just don't think that there's a player on this planet that can do what he's doing. He's going to run away with the National League MVP this year. He was a multi-year Gold Glover in right field. He played Gold Glove caliber at second base in a smaller sample. To then, as we were going back to talking about superstars, people don't like to be put in a position to fail or look bad. But to be selfless and to say what's best for this ball club, to give Gavin Lux some runway to play second base, is very unique and very unselfish. And so for him now, the execution part, I haven't seen a guy work any harder than Mookie Betts, almost to the point of exhaustion as far as wondering if he's preparing too much, that it's going to take a toll on his body. But he's trying to get every single play that he potentially could get in a game and trying to catch up. And so, as you said, the defensive run saved, he's right there at the top of the list as a shortstop. And when you watch him, Jason, he looks like a major league shortstop. And I give a lot of credit, certainly to Mookie, Dino Ebel, Chris Woodward, who works in our organization, and also Miguel Rojas. those that three-headed monster has really, really poured into Mookie and made him an elite shortstop in such a short period of time. And I just never imagined this.
Yeah. I mean, I'm glad you mentioned the unselfish part of it, because I think as MVP voters, we need to factor that in, like what he's doing for his team, and also hitting what, 352 or something, that'll work. But when you announced this, I think you said he would be the permanent shortstop for now. It got me wondering, so if the time came when, say, you had another option that you liked it short, what would Mookie do next? Maybe he could just play a different position every inning, every night, just to prove he could.
I'm sure he could, but I know he wouldn't want to get behind the plate. That's one thing I don't think. So that was in spring training, and that's one of those things, Jason, where we just didn't know how good it could potentially be. Where it's at right now, I just can't see us moving off that statement, which I also kind of backed that up about a week ago when I said Mookie's going to now be our shortstop. And that's with more information. I just don't see us coming off that.
You see him working out before the game, right? All the scenarios that he puts in there. What are the intangibles? You know, you talk about the unselfishness, but the competitive aspect of Mookie Betts that you've discovered.
I think the intangibles, which, you know, I've already known, people know, as far as to be great, to dominate at whatever is in front of them, whether it's bowling, it's baseball, it's shooting hoops, it's pickleball, that he's now an elite pickler. It's crazy. And then now to dominate shortstop. So he just doesn't waver. And I think that, like I kind of, what I mentioned earlier is, you know, he enjoys the grind. He really does. And the grind is not just showing up or going through the motions. Like, when he practices something, it's game speed. And most people can't do that because they can't sustain it. And so to practice at game speed every single day, that's taxing not only your body, but mostly your mind. So most people think of a practice or preparation as kind of a 75, 80%. Mookie Betts does it at 100%. And so that's something that I've watched it over the years where people, you know, day one of spring training, oh, I want to work out with Mookie Betts and get the secret sauce, and they fall to the wayside. I see it every year. And the thing is, because it just takes a tougher mind and mental toughness to continue to sustain that. And so with Mookie, guys like Freddie Freeman, I just haven't seen it with people.
And so we're recording this Monday pregame. So later today, you're going to get a guy named Walker Buehler back. Then later this summer, if all goes well, you're going to get two guys named Clayton Kershaw and Dustin May back. How realistic do you think it is to expect all of those guys to pitch the way they did before their injuries? And what would it mean to the Dodgers if they do?
It remains to be seen. You don't know until you know. I do think the possibility of getting all three back at different points of the season are very good. Walker, getting him back is going to be a huge boost. I don't know, you know, if it's going to be 2020, but still the compete is going to make us a lot better. And getting Clayton back somewhere around the All-Star break is going to be a huge shot in the arm as well. And just talking to Clayton each day, he's pain-free, which he hasn't been pain-free in years. So that in itself has got to be a huge bonus. And Dustin looks fantastic. And, you know, hopefully September we see him, and I'm excited to see Big Red as well. So yeah, we're trying to get through this, Jason, like every team is, with a lot of injuries, and to our credit, we're still moving forward.
You got a lot of potential aces, man, because you have another guy named Yamamoto. Okay.
How is Never heard of him.
Yeah, you should look him up. He's pretty good. How is his adjustment to baseball and life going on this side of the Pacific?
It's great. You know, Yoshinobu he's young, he's naive, he's certainly talented. He has been endeared to our players. Our guys adore him. He's funny, he's fun. But when he's on the mound, he's very competitive. And you take away that start in Seoul, his first start, it's been exceptional. And so with what we've seen, he continues to get better and more comfortable each outing. And that's going to be scary for other teams as he continues to learn the league. But I think for Yoshinobu, I'm impressed that the trust has come so quick, in the sense of he doesn't know the league. So he's basically trusting the catchers and Mark Pryor as far as game reports and pitch sequencing and just kind of going blind. And he's doing a fantastic job. So he and Shohei have become really good friends, which has been fun, because prior to this, they only played together in the WBC. So they were teammates in one small moment in time, but now they're going to dinners together, and it's been a lot of fun to see.
You know, I know this spring he was throwing a javelin in your camp, right? And your players were mesmerized by that. I had this vision of him like throwing javelins around Dodger Stadium now. Like, there's like a pregame competition where everybody tries to throw a javelin through a Dodger dog. Any of that going on?
So he's still throwing the javelin. It is remarkable how he can throw that javelin, because some players have tried to throw it. It's not good. But there is certainly a method to his madness about the javelin, and it's basically trying to get him the extension and getting over his front side, and to throw that thing kind of at the perfect angle is pretty remarkable. I haven't tried it myself. We haven't, as I've unbeknownst, I don't know if we've had any contests yet. So that might be down the road, Jason, but right now I think it's just a Yamamoto thing.
Yeah. Did you pack that javelin and take it to Korea? Like, what? Did you take it in your carry-on? How would that work?
Oh, it's you'd be surprised at the things that make it under the airplane. Yes, it's there with us. Yes.
Wow.
Well, I wanted to mention Will Smith, because I always feel like he kind of gets like in the shadow. You know, it's like, okay, Betts, Ohtani, Freeman, then there's this other dude. Can you just talk about, like, we were laughing about, like, you know, he's too vanilla. You said, like, you know, can you talk about Will Smith and just what he does? Because it's incredible.
It's great. And I do. I have referenced him as vanilla in spring training. We all get together. He's vanilla. You know, it's one of those things that it always goes underappreciated. But when you take a scoop of vanilla ice cream, like, man, this is still pretty dang good. You know? And it's always, you know, you compliment it. You always compliment vanilla ice cream with other flavors. And so Will Smith, for me, wants, needs no credit. He is just wants to play baseball. Very unassuming. But hitting four behind those three stars is something. You got to be able to control the zone. You got to be able to drive in a run, hit to all fields, hit right-handed pitching, left-handed pitching, have a great heartbeat, great head. He has all those things. And so for me, I really believe that there's no better player that can hit behind those three studs. And Will Smith certainly gets underappreciated, but, you know, he's not that self-promoter. I don't even think he's on social media, which is great. He just wants to play baseball. And now you layer in being a catcher, which is so demanding. And you can argue easily that his most important job is catching and being the jockey to these thoroughbred pitchers. So he does that fantastic. And I just think he's one of the top couple catchers in baseball.
You know, we can't let you get out of here without asking you about bees. You actually had a game in Arizona last week with a 2-hour bee delay. Like, you're in the desert. It's not going to rain. They don't have a tarp. They have a roof anyway. And you wind up in a 2-hour delay. Could you run us through that? Like, what did they tell you when they tried to explain to you the game was going to be delayed by bees?
So this is like 30 minutes before the game and everyone's ready to go. And I get out there right before it was right after the anthem, I think, or after the anthem, because the bees were already there. We had the anthem. And then Adrian Johnson comes up to me, and then I'm already seeing the bees. Our players are looking at the bees, and some players are saying, let's just play. Some guys going, there's no way we can play. And Adrian Johnson, the crew chief, comes over and says, hey, we have a situation here. And I was following them, and it was there were so many bees, guys, that I couldn't imagine what would have happened if a ball would have hit the screen and they would have kind of dispersed all over the field level. So yeah, we ended up having like a 2-hour bee delay. And the funny thing is that this beekeeper comes in on this like chariot And right when he comes in, he gets cheers, and he's just playing up to the crowd, does his deal, plays up to the crowd. And then the next day, this dude is throwing out the first pitch. So that was his, like, 2 minutes of fame, and he milked it to the end.
He milked it. I said he did more interviews than Tori Lavullo.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And we could have been any happier, because we were talking about doubleheader the next day, coming back and playing on an off day. And not for weather, because of bees. So bees, right? It was just bananas.
I don't know if there's ever been a bee out. I don't think so.
No. Well, instead of milking it, you could say he honeyed it. Wouldn't you say he honeyed
there
it?
You go. There you go. Yeah, that's just right. So you know what's funny is that I got a challenge the next day from our media relations director. It was like, hey, I want to see if you can use any bee or honey references in your scrum the next day. And I couldn't do it. You know, swarm, honey, queen.
Buzz.
You know, huh?
Buzz. That was your
buzz. I, you know what? But it didn't like lend itself to like there was a, because there certainly wasn't a buzz at Chase Field. So, but whatever. That was just a funny little inside thing that I just fell short.
Oh, man, that is a fail. That's a fail right there.
Big fail. Yeah. I needed your vocabulary, Jason.
Well, Tani does sting the baseball. He really stings it.
You guys are way better than me. Gosh darn it.
Yeah, you know, I quoted Eric Stengel, the comedian, the other day, saying you should have just played anyway. Like, really, what could go wrong if a foul ball hit a swarm of bees?
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. Well, I'm not allergic to bees, so nothing for me.
Oh my gosh! Yeah, so no, that is fun. Well, you told us that, hey, you know, you're having a lot of fun yourself, Doc, and I guess, you know, what are you savoring the most, especially after you said 9 years and also in this team in particular?
I think savoring the most each moment. You know, every night there's a moment, there's a conversation that I enjoy. You know, to do what we do, if you don't enjoy moments, then you got to look at yourself and go, why am I doing this? Because to play, to validate or justify or judge or grade a season by the finality of the season, I think you're doing yourself a disservice. I learned that years ago, where you got to enjoy the victories. It's hard to win a major league game. You know, Max Muncy hits 3 homers a couple nights ago. That's something I really enjoyed. I enjoyed that for him, his wife, Kelly, his parents. That's a big moment. Winning a big ball game, Andy Pajes the other night, a rookie, gets a game winner. Those are moments that I love, and it keeps my kind of cup filled. And so, yeah, Dougie, I'm having a great time with this team. This team is different than last year's team and then the year prior. And so every year is different, but equally as fun. And I'm looking forward to seeing how we can finish the season this year.
Dave, we love talking with you. Thank you so much for carving out the time to visit us. All the best with this season, and I hope you get a real Porsche delivered to your door before we talk to you next.
Oh, man. We'll see. And, guys, I really appreciate the time. I just love what you guys do, man. And it's just – I just love talking baseball, and you guys are just baseball fanatics and love the game. And so anytime we have this conversation, it is a positive for me.
Appreciate that, man. And we always appreciate you. So see you soon.
See you soon, guys. Take care.
All right, Doc. Catch you soon.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
DirecTV gives you access to apps like Netflix and live sports right next to each other.
I don't get it.
Let me put it in pigeon terms. It's like that one amazing dumpster with the old fruits and cardboard all in one place.
How am I supposed to keep up with illustrative metaphors when you are making me so hungry?
Get live TV and streaming apps together without a satellite. Visit DirecTV.com. Requires high-speed internet-connected Gemini device and separate paid subscription to watch Netflix on DirecTV. Terms and restrictions apply.
Guys tend to think looking sharp means starchy Oxfords and stiff chinos rather than effortless comfort, but it's possible to have it both ways. I'm all set for summer thanks to Mack Weldon. The Vesper polo shirt is so breathable you can wear it on the golf course, but it looks classy enough to wear to a party. The Maverick Tech chino short is ultra flexible, and the Pima crew neck t-shirt is perfect for those casual weekends. There's no need to be uncomfortable in your clothing ever again. Some guys just want to look good without calling attention attention to themselves. Mack Weldon Apparel gives you understated good looks for understated confidence. Mack Weldon clothes are designed to fit your style and the demands of modern life. They look like regular clothes, but feel like the latest in modern comfort. They're the go-to choice for guys who want to look great without even trying. Breathable underwear that keeps you cool, dry, and comfy all day. Crazy comfortable but elevated sweatpants. An upgraded classic polo with antimicrobial silver threads. An ultra-soft antimicrobial tee for when you need to stay fresh longer. That's the Silver Crew Neck T-shirt. Get timeless looks with modern comfort from Mack Weldon. Go to MackWeldon.com and get 20% off your first order with promo code MLBSHOW. That's MackWeldon.com. Promo code MLB Show.
Don't just ride the index, seek to outperform it with Fidelity Active ETFs. Learn more at fidelity.com/active ETFs. Before investing in any exchange-traded fund, you should consider its investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Contact Fidelity for a prospectus, an offering circular, or if available, a summary prospectus containing this information. Read it carefully. While active ETFs offer the potential to outperform an index, these products may more significantly trail an index as compared with passive ETFs. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
Strange but true.
Here it comes. That segment we know you've been waiting for all week. It's Strange but True, the Rally Sausage Edition. Doug, do we even have to explain this? I guess we need to for people who aren't familiar with sausages. The Twins were off to a rough start. 20 games in, they'd only won seven times, 7-13. And what happened next, Doug? Sausage happened, okay? So rather than have us explain it, we're going to let Ryan Jeffers, the official Twins sausage man, explain. Here's Ryan.
Sometimes in baseball, you need things just to kind of happen organically and just in the fun of the game. You know, it's a long season. You got to have fun and have fun with some of these things. So it's kind of random, but it's been working. We've been winning. It was out of nowhere. All of a sudden we were getting shut out by Soroka, and the genius David Popkins brings out a summer sausage to the dugout. And sure enough, me and Julian rub the sausage and we go back to back to start the inning and tie the ball game up. So the rest is history after that. Everybody's got their own thing. Ours just happened to fall this way. There happened to be a summer sausage on the desk. The misconception is that there's a lot of like inappropriate talk about this sausage. No, it's just genuinely a summer sausage. It's not supposed to represent something else. It's just a sausage, nothing else.
It's just a sausage. There just happened to be a summer sausage sitting on the deck, on the desk. Okay, so here you had a team, Doug. Yeah, they're rubbing a sausage. But even worse, they're throwing an unrefrigerated sausage around their dugout. They're transporting it, Doug, from city to city. The manager is creeped out by the entire thing, and it won't end because they just keep winning. The power of smelly sausage is so great that the Twins win 12 games in a row, their longest winning streak in more than 30 years. So the sausage just keeps coming back for more. So as you know, we're doing this Monday. On Sunday, regret to report that the streak ended. And the manager, Rocco Baldelli, said that meant the sausage was already in the trash. This was the quote, Doug. Where it belongs. Hey, look, to be honest, I still have concerns. I'm just worried the sausage gets thrown into the trash and yes, it begins to grow into this scary, smelly monster. Oof. It escapes horrible. From the trash can. It escapes from the dump. It begins to terrorize the Twin Cities. It's a bad sausage movie. Doug, can you reassure Minnesotans that that won't happen?
Well, here's the thing. I know who's very upset right now, and it's got to be the Milwaukee Brewers fans because their sausage race is forever tainted after this. they refuse to accept that kind of mistreatment of sausages because they're supposed to be refrigerated. Unless you get, of course, there are summer sausages that are dry cured, so you can last a little bit longer. I did recommend that to Rocco. I've not heard back. Baldelli, just because why don't you get a dry cured one? Then you wouldn't have this erosion problem. And therefore, the health department of Major League Baseball will be right after you. So I think it's going to end up being collectively bargained because of this reason, because MLB cannot deal with these health violations. But yes, the brat, the Polish, the Italian, the hot dog, and the chorizo in Milwaukee are completely outraged right now. And as their lawyer, I'm particularly upset on their behalf. I'm very, proud of the fact that the Twins could turn the magic of sausage into something great, but there are consequences to insulting the greatest sausage race that mankind has ever known, and that is in Milwaukee.
So the Twins and Brewers are interleague rivals. They play each other every year, home and home. Don't they have to invite this sausage? They could actually have the actual sausage. By then it'll be running on its own, I'm sure. So have a Twin sausage enter the sausage race? This has to happen.
Exactly. They don't have summer in here. They have brat, Polish, Italian hot dog, and chorizo. You add summer sausage. And that would be the proper thing to do. That's the etiquette out of respect to the Brewers. We don't want like a Randall Simon type incident where he hits the sausage in the back of the head. They could have applied for a new sausage in the sausage race, and that would have been their good luck charm. I don't know how you'd have to work it out during rivalries and head-to-head, but you just enter the summer. So that's the etiquette. Instead, these sausages, the brat, the Polish, and the hot dog in particular, are very upset because they saw one of their own wrapped in plastic, not refrigerated, not getting any sleep, and rubbed on like they're some sort of genie. And I think that was, that was offensive to them. So, I think that, we'll see what happens. MLB is probably going to step in. If they move on to a dry cured summer sausage, I think everybody would be okay with that. But next time, we'll have to do that next time.
I mean, I do fear for the safety of the summer sausage if he runs in that race. I have to admit, you just painted the picture. It won't be a safe situation in Milwaukee for the summer sausage. So I don't know if that's the best idea. But I do want to move on because my original thought when we talked about this before the show was, I'm just going to ask Doug about the most ridiculous thing one of his teams ever did during a winning streak. But Doug, can you confirm that you told me your teams were so bad you never actually had a winning streak?
We didn't win a whole lot. So that was a problem if you're 20 games out of first. Then you feel weird, like, oh, we won 5 in a row. Let's get a Raleigh sausage. In my case, I'd probably do like Raleigh French toast, maybe. That would probably be the way to or Raleigh syrup. I would really appreciate Raleigh syrup.
Yeah.
But then you're like, you start to look ridiculous when you're like 35 games out. So we had a tough time there. But I've seen some strange stuff, though, however. I have seen some strange things.
I'll ask you about it, but just want you to know, I did do the research, okay, on your longest winning streak. So first thing I found was the Cubs, after they traded you, won 10 in a row. The Rangers, literally the week after they traded you, won 8 in a row. Okay.
Table. I set the table.
Yeah, you did. The longest winning streak that any of your teams ever had in all your years in the big leagues was
like 3.
7 games. Now, you made it to 7 once with the 2002 Phillies.
Whoa.
It's the only winning streak of more than 5 games in your career all those years. It's 8 terrible seasons. It's nuts. So you weren't kidding. But as you just alluded, you were a witness to some really weird stuff. So what would you say was the craziest baseball superstition that you ever personally witnessed on any team that you were a part of?
Yeah, that's a great question. We could have had like a Raleigh losing streak to try to break the losing streak. Then that would have made more sense. But I think, I had to leave the National League to see the strangest thing that I at least remember. I have to go back. But I left the National League 1 year to play for the Texas Rangers. And, like a fish out of water. A National League baseball fan growing up, National Leaguer my whole career. And then I'm sent to the hinterland, what I didn't know much about, the American League. So I go to American League, and we have this closer named Ugas Urbina, who I played against a lot in Montreal used to kind of flex his muscles every time he got you out. And he's our closer. I'm like, all right, you know, he's a good player, so we'll probably have a good shot. And I noticed he had this kind of ritual that by the sixth inning, he was like laid up and his feet were up on a chair and he was in like long underwear and some sort of makeshift Texas Rangers uniform gear. It wasn't a uniform though. It was like all the stuff you'd wear, you know, on the side, you know, warm-ups or practice jerseys and stuff. So he was just wearing shirts and like long underwear. I didn't understand it. I was like, closers are strange. It's fine. They do their thing. They sleep, they do whatever. So I just forgot about it. One day, I think he came in and it didn't go very well, if I'm recalling. I'm not sure the exact circumstances. All I know is I go in the shower, like I've done for 15 years before that. And strangely enough, the same strange smoker's outfit with the long underwear type stuff, he's in the shower in. So I'm like, okay, he's not actually going to, you know, he's just walking in the shower. Sometimes we change somewhere around there. No, that wasn't the case. He decides to take a shower with all that stuff on. didn't think it was necessary to take it off for soap or any other purposes. I'm just gonna shower with the stuff on. And I know he saw my face like just crunch up, like it was just hard to contain my facial expression because I had never seen anything like this. I thought, okay, there's some sort of water ritual like from Black Panther or something when they have the rite of passage where they're trying to decide who's going to be king, T'Challa versus Killmonger. Maybe it's like water ritual. I mean, I get it. There's times I want to wash my bats when I strike out four times in a game or something. So, all right, I'll try to work with the concept, but I didn't really get where this actually came from. There were suggestions made that he was actually just trying to save the team money on laundry. Because he wanted to wash the clothes in advance. And so in that case, instead of soap, you walk in with a spoonful of Tide or some sort of detergent, like all the one that doesn't have the extra chemicals in it. So maybe in some ways, he was thinking way ahead into the future as an environmentalist. That kind of threw me off. I couldn't stop myself from being kind of utterly shocked in my face. And from then on, I said, I will not be surprised at pretty much anything else.
You know, I guess it could have been worse. He could have jumped into the clubhouse washing machine and showered that way. Okay. I wonder how he would have pitched if he just showered like normal people, not in uniform.
I played with Mark Lewis and I fined him in kangaroo court for taking a bath in the therapy whirlpool.
That was
bad, but I lost in court. So judges were terrible. Yeah, they were terrible.
Let me just say, I don't get the whole superstition thing anyway. I'm always happy to get a strange but true segment out of somebody else's superstitions. That part works fine. So I guess I should just say to the Twins and to Ugeth Urbina, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. They gave us a whole segment and it was very memorable. What a segment it was. It's that time again. It's time for listener trivia, our way of involving you, our favorite listeners, in this show. You know, Doug, we were on a roll until we whiffed last week on a question we really should have gotten. I've honestly been bummed out all week about it. How about you?
Well, you know, it's that's why it's baseball. Sometimes you get the fastball right down the middle, and for whatever reason, you pop it up to the catcher.
Is that
you
what
just
we
have to keep going. Yeah.
Okay. Well, we popped up. Yes, we did. Popped up, popped out. But here's the thing. Can we get this thing straightened out? I think we can. So let's find out. Let's welcome in this week's special trivia guest star. It's Joe Wilkins. Joe emailed us his question. And what do you know? We actually read it. So Joe, welcome to Starkville.
Thank you for having me. Pleasure to be here.
Pleasure is ours. So, Joe, in your email, you actually said you've wanted to come on and stump us with trivia for a long time. I mean, really? I mean, that is what we do here. We make dreams come true. But that's true?
Yeah, I'm not aiming too high, but we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Yeah. It's better to not aim that high in life, and then your dreams have a much better chance of coming to. So, hey, it's your first time here. We wanted to give you a chance to tell everyone out there where you're from and what team you tie your emotions to?
So I'm from Virginia, an Astros fan, which is I didn't inherit a team. I just growing up in the 90s was a big fan of the Killer Bees, so became a avid Astros fan. So yeah, like I said, I'm from Virginia. I'm a culinary arts instructor and just live and breathe baseball. So.
Very cool. Doug has some culinary arts.
I do. I like to think my French toast could be award winning if I ever submitted it for something. Yeah. That's about all I got.
Maybe Joe can help with that, Doug.
Yeah, see what I can do.
Yeah, right. Good luck. As I said, Joe emails us this question. You could do that too. Email us at starkville@theathletic.com, or you can hit us up with your questions on X, which used to be Twitter, or on my Facebook page. But none of that's important now because, Joe, it's time. It's time for you to hit us with your question.
All right. My question is, since the retirement of Barry Bonds, there have been five different players who have held the title of active career home run leader. Who are they?
You know, Doug, the best part of Joe's email was he admitted right there in the email, this could fall under the guidelines of your devious cheating scheme, Operation Multiple Choice. And because five answers does, in fact, fall under those guidelines, I'm going to let you two work out what we'll need to do to get this question, quote unquote, correct. You two figure out.
Quote unquote. So wait, so there's how many answers are there?
Five.
Five. Okay, I was just me. Okay, there's five answers. Let's see. Well, that is a little bit above. Yeah, so this is how I simplified so I don't spend a lot of time on my Operation Multiple Choice, which should be now educated for the whole masses now. So I would say we could, you know, have an extra guess and get the same number, or guess the same number and get one less. You know what I'm saying? So like you do six for five.
Five for the price of six or four for the price of five?
Yes. So that's how I simplify it. That's it.
Okay. So what do you think, Joe?
Yeah, I'll defer to you guys. I mean, guess six and get five or get four out of five. It's up to you guys.
I think we should have to guess six to get five because it's not like these are obscure names. What do you think, Doug? All right.
Let's do it.
Good with that? Okay. So we have to guess six to get the five players who have at some point been the active home run leader since Barry Bonds retired. I don't know if retired is what he actually did, but he stopped.
Right,
playing.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Evaporated.
So I think we can do that, Doug.
All right. Let's try it.
We have a pitch clock now, so that's a factor we have to consider. But luckily,
yep,
the mayor just started it. We didn't waste time with all the negotiating. So we got plenty of time to make this happen. First off, I just wrote a big column about the meaning of these milestones. So I know three of them off the top of my head. They were in the column. So Albert Pujols,
yep.
Miggy, and the current leader, Giancarlo Stanton. That's three right there. We're in. We've got three. Okay, so that's good. Then there was A-Rod. Like, he was definitely one at some point. Okay, right? So that gives us four. And then my only question was, who's the fifth? We only need to get one of two. Doesn't it feel like it has to be either Ken Griffey Jr. or Jim Thomae? Right? They both hit over 600 homers. The only tricky thing is they were also around at the same time as A-Rod. So one of them would have had to have had that lead and then get passed by A-Rod. That would have had to be Griffey, I think, right?
Just yeah, they kind of back and forth or something.
Yeah, Griffey was there first. So if one of them had the lead, that had to be Griffey, because I remember I was at the famous game where Griffey was one homer away from 500 and Thomae was one homer away from 400. Thomae hit his, then there was like a 3.5 hour rain delay and he came to the interview room at like 2:30 in the morning. But I digress.
Yeah. Okay, so anyway. I was there. Wasn't I there?
I was, you were there too. Yeah.
It was on the team.
Yeah, right. It was the first year of Citizens Bank Park. So anyway, I think those are the six. I might be remembering the timeline wrong, but it feels like they have to be the six. Doug, what do you think?
6 degrees of separation. Well, I mean, I have a similar list. I mean, I thought about Sammy Sosa. I don't know if he ever was there in that mix, or maybe later, or David Ortiz. Did he ever? How many did Ortiz hit in the end?
Ortiz was in the 500. Sammy got over 600. But did he ever have more than Griffey?
Yeah, and then I try to remember who retired, like when, right? Like,
that's a really hard one. That's a really hard
one. That's the only one I couldn't figure.
I don't think Ortiz was ever the leader, but because the way we do things, he could have been. Was he ahead of Pujols at some point? He might have been. Shoot.
I don't know, because Pujols came in, what, 2000 and 2000, right?
Pujols'
and
first year was 2001. Ortiz's first name was 2002 or 2003, and A-Rod was before that, and Griffey was before that, and Tommy was before that. So, like, aren't they ahead of Ortiz in line? I think so. Anyway, like, we're getting short of time, so,
yeah.
And you know, everybody knows our normal shtick is we throw the right answer out there, then we talk ourselves out of it. We could have just done that again, but I think we've got this.
You got some good guesses.
What do you think of the five? Stanton, Pujols, Miggy, A-Rod are four. What do you want to guess for the other two?
I mean, you have to go Tomei, Griffey. I mean, if you have 600 club members.
Yeah.
I mean, Sosa's right. My only wild card, but I think we're all right.
Okay, let's just, like, we're down to, with time's up, so let's just do this.
Yeah, I didn't realize Stanton had that many home runs, though. Stanton, like, I have him on my list, but
okay, we got to guess. We're at the time's up. Joe, is there any chance that the answer is, let me think about this again. Miggy, Pujols, Stanton, A-Rod, Griffey, Tomei. Are there five right answers in that group?
Yeah, you nailed it. I think I tossed you a softball here.
Oh, Jason Stark at work.
Tomei is the odd man out. It was Griffey, then A-Rod, then Pujols, then Miggy for a year after Pujols retired. And then once Miggy retired, John Carlos Stanton, like you said, is the current leader.
Tremendous. Wow. I mean, again, I just wrote about this, so I'm like kind of cheating, but I didn't know you were going to ask this question. So I don't think it counts as cheating. I just know. Doug, we got three of the last four right. You start thinking You're about right. this. I don't know what's been happening the last couple of years. Like, we had years of embarrassing ourselves with these trivia questions, and now we're over 500 for 2 years. What happened?
Oh, well, you know, when you go 2-21, you know, you gotta change, you gotta fire managers, you gotta get a new analytics department. I think we just did the overhaul. Did we move the team to Utah, and you know, now we're pretty good.
Yeah.
So, okay. You know, a lot of changes, there's rebuilding, and we have to take it one day at a time. And you know, things that happen to fall our way, we pray for rain. So, you know, this is how we do it.
But did you just say Starkville was relocating to Utah, or did I get that wrong?
Well, you know, that's just one of the many departments of where we go. But Utah, you know, pretty good spot, actually.
Yeah, it's beautiful this time of year. Whatever. Joe, that was an awesome question. We enjoyed it. Is there anything we need to know, by the way? Like, was Ortiz ever close? I don't see how he could have been.
I think he was close, but he retired before Pujols, so.
Right. Okay.
But what about Sosa? Was he ever – I mean, he had to be dancing in there somewhere.
His career also ended in 2007, like Barry, so – He was. Yeah, I asked some friends, okay. and that's the one that tripped them up, Sosa.
Okay. Well, not us. Not us. Cool. And, hey, guess what? That was fun. But here comes the best part of this segment, because it's the part that doesn't include us. Why don't we bring in the new mayor of Starkville, Mayor Brian Smith. It's his second opportunity to do some mayor stuff by playing a cool play-by-play clip involving this week's answer. So, Brian, you were really good at mayoring last week. We are ready to have you mayor it up again, my friend. What do you have for us this week?
All right, I'm ready. We're back at a highlight from the kid, Ken Griffey Jr. He had his 600th home run as a member of the Reds versus the Marlins back in 2008. And here's the highlight.
Griffey swings, there it goes, long fly ball right field. It is a number 600 for Ken Griffey Jr. A no-doubter about halfway up in the lower deck and right. Ken Griffey Jr. circling the bases as they stand here at Dolphin Stadium. That's what they came to see here tonight, and from the moment it left the bat, absolutely no question where it was going to end up. So Ken Griffey Jr. ascends to a position that only five others have gone before him.
That was Marty Brenneman, right? Marty Brenneman, that was great. So much fun to hear that. Joe, that was an excellent question. So I hope we made your dreams come true.
Absolutely. I didn't stump you, but it was an honor nonetheless.
Hey, for us too. Please come back and visit us again, okay?
Will do.
And Brian, more excellent mayor work from you. I think you have a bright mayoral future ahead of you. Who knows where that could lead? You could become the governor of Starkville. You could become the president of Starkville. You could maybe become head chef at the Starkville Diner. Who knows, right? Who knows what the future might hold? Okay, that's going to do it for this week's show. Doug, thanks for playing. Thanks to Dave Roberts for visiting us. Thanks to Joe Wilkins for the great trivia question. Thanks to the mayor of Starkville, Brian Smith, for producing us and putting up with us. And thanks to you all for listening. Doug and I will see you next week
on Starkville.
Starkville. Woo! We're so much better at this than we were with that Tim McMaster. Can this be coincidence?